Tonight on Arena, author Anne Tyler on her latest novel and lockdown in Baltimore, and in movies, six of the best of Irish cinema. #51551 is the text. You can tweet the programme at RTE Arena. Well, we're sticking to our long-held belief in Arena that Thursday night is movie night, but with movie theatres shut, our intrepid reviewers have some hand-picked recommendations for your home cinema delectation. This evening, Arlene Hunt and Justin McGregor are focusing on Irish films. Justin, your selections of Irish movies are all taken from this century, in fact. Two from the same year, 2007, and we start with one of those, Once. Musical stars picked up an Oscar for this back in 2007, which you will tell us about. But what do you love about this film, Once?
Well, I love that it's only made for, you know, €100,000, which is amazing, but that the music, regardless of what it was made for, was as good as it could possibly be. I mean, if their budget had been 40 million, it would have the same songs and the same quality. And the way, you know, what I really love about the story is these two people who never are named, you know, the Glenn Hansard as the guy and Marketa Erglova as the girl. They don't really communicate in real life. They talk, but it's all subtext and around the real meaning. And then the musical, the songs, are them actually, you know, in the movie singing. And in those songs, they're actually really communicating their love and their growing love for each other. And it's such a beautiful contrast between that isolation in their, you know, their spoken life and their kind of revelations that are in their musical one. And I just think it's a really magical film for that.
You talked about a budget there, Justin, of €100,000. I mean, it's such a tiny budget. But in fact, did that budget, was that part of what dictated the simplicity, not only in terms of plot, it's a simple love story in many ways, but also the simplicity in the production and in the production values, perhaps?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think when the film's outside, like there's a beautiful scene at Sorrento Point, you know, near Docky. And it looks, again, as you know, when you're outdoors and you have the big spotlight in the sky, you know, the sun, it looks really excellent. But when they go indoors, there are a few times, I know there's one scene when Glenn Hansard's in his character's bedroom and you just want to turn on a lamp. Like, it's so dark and grainy. You just want to reach through the screen and go, come on, one more light, one more light. But I think let them really come down to that very basic story of humans trying to connect, failing, but kind of leaving behind this memento of their love.
All right, but I suppose that absence of lamps, et cetera, is part of the film's charm. Let's listen to a clip, actually, from Once. And this is in a scene where Guy, as you said, played by Glenn Hansard, and Girl, played by Marketa Erglova. Guy wants to ask her out on a date, so he borrows his dad's motorbike and shimmies up to her with his proposal.
What are you doing here?
I just came out. Do you want to go for a spin?
What's your bike?
It's my dad's. He absolutely loves it, but I robbed it on him for the day. If he knew, he'd kill me.
Would he?
See, the fanciest pin, no?
I'd love to, but I have to go to work.
That's cool. Another time, yeah? Just talk while I had it. I'd drop up and see if you're ready to go on out.
Could you have him back by lunch?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
There we go, a scene from Once, the first choice of Justin McGregor in our Irish movie slot tonight here on Arena. Just one thing before I finish up on that, Justin. I mean, the stars of this movie, Glenn Hansard had a well-established career before that. Marketa Erglova has continued in music since that. But John Carney, the writer and director here, really thinks this was a huge takeoff for him.
No, absolutely. I mean, he went on, he directed Begin Again in 2013, which had, you know, Keira Knightley and Mark Ruffalo, and also got an Oscar nomination for Best Song. And then Sing Street, another one that was very close to making my list from 2016, set in 80s Ireland, and got a Golden Globe nomination for Best Picture. Mm-hmm. Again, though, this idea of, you know, of music and the role of music in our lives and communicating our inner truths in a world where we find it hard to say it in words, you know, using song in this way. So a really amazing trilogy of films from John Carney.
All right. Well, Once is available. You can get it on Volta.ie and YouTube Movies to rent and to buy on Volta.ie. But the cheapest rental, I do believe, is on iTunes, where you can get it for 99 cent. And that'll certainly entertain you for an hour and a half or thereabouts for a very, very small sum of money. Let's go back then to Arlene Hunt. I believe we have you now, Arlene, on the line. And I was saying that your first choice for us this evening is The Snapper. People often quote this as a real classic. A firm favourite of yours, Arlene?
Yeah, it's based on the second novel of the Barrytown trilogy by Roddy Doyle. And it introduces us to the Curley family, which are called the Rabbits in the books. And they're a tight-knit working class family living in Dublin. And it's just one of the funniest films, and it holds up really well. I mean, this is from 1993, but it's just as funny now if you watch it now. If you watch it tomorrow, it's still as entertaining as it was then.
And Colm Meaney, I suppose, as Sharon's dad. Now, they're called the Curleys in The Snapper because they couldn't use the rabbit name because of the commitments. Alan Parker owned the rabbit name. He had the rights on that. But Colm Meaney is just hilarious in this role as Sharon's dad.
He absolutely has a time of his life playing Desi Curley, and he's really charming and funny in it as well. And he's sort of, because Sharon is his daughter and she becomes pregnant from a night out, and it's all a bit, this is the very early 90s as well, so it was a bit sort of frowned upon, but he immediately sort of defends her, and he gets very heavily involved in her pregnancy, and he starts reading up all these books and learning about female anatomy and trying to become a much more progressive and modern man. But he's really, really very funny in it as well. And you know, the side effects of this are that he sort of becomes more interested in his wife and more interesting to his wife as he sort of delves deeper into the female psyche.
Yes, but he retains a certain gruff charm, as we'll hear in this clip, where he, again, I'm talking about proposals here, he has a little proposal for his wife.
Oh, Jesus. There's nothing on the telly tonight, is there?
Never anything on.
Oh, you're right, of course, but there's absolutely nothing on tonight, is there? Suppose a ride is out of the question.
Hang on till I get this line done.
You serious?
Suppose so.
Fucking great. You're not messing now.
No. Just let me finish the next line.
I'll go up and brush my teeth.
That'll be nice.
Oh, who could resist such charm? Colm Meaney there in The Snapper, the first choice of Arlene Hunt in our list of Irish movies that you might want.
How's that for romance?
Absolutely. But how does it stand up, not just in regard to the romance, but obviously we were dealing with the young girl who gets pregnant here and a very different society. Does it treat that seriously, or does it brush over the social difficulties that might have presented, Arlene?
It's handled in a very lighthearted way. There's things now in, you know, if you look at it now, like the amount of drinking that carries on throughout the pregnancy, you know, it just wouldn't happen nowadays. It'd be heavily frowned upon. But I mean, other messages are much more important in it, you know, which is that, you know, tell what the neighbours think. This is family. And, you know, they rally around Sharon. And Sharon, you know, at no point does she tell her family who the father is. And that all comes out in the wash. But even so, it makes no difference. I mean, even though they don't have a lot of money, what they have is a lot of heart and a lot of love. And that really, really stands the test of time in this film.
All right. And of course, messages around brushing your teeth will always be important. You can buy The Snapper on Google Play Movies, Amazon Video, YouTube, Microsoft Store, and Vudu, in fact, has a download. You can also rent it on several platforms. We have a slight delay, obviously, on the line there to Arlene, but we'll bear with it for the time being. Let's move on to Justin and your second choice for us this evening, Justin, which is again, that special year, 2007, and the film Garage, directed by Leonard Abrahamson and featuring Pat Short. Was there something about the year 2007 in Irish movies, you think, that sent you particularly there?
I don't know. These just really stand out for me. Obviously, I I moved to Ireland in 2013, so I watched these from overseas, and I think just there was a portrayal of Dublin in once, and I think there's something about the country, you know, outside of Dublin and Garage that really spoke to me. I mean, I hadn't even noticed that they were both 2007 till I was, you know, thinking of my favourite films, and certainly of Lenny's films. There's something about Garage and Pat Short's performance that just, to me, make it a really special film that probably people maybe haven't seen or haven't seen in a while.
Mm. Yeah, and Pat Short, up to this point, people would have thought of him absolutely as a comedian. They knew that he was a musician as well, but he really showed serious acting chops here.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a very serious part. I mean, Josie, who's the caretaker of the garage, we know there's some kind of learning disability or some kind, you know, going on there. But he never milks it. He plays it very earnestly and innocently. And what's sort of really amazing is until the very end of the movie, you realize Josie doesn't even realize that, you know, there is this disability there. He's living his life the way everyone else is, or so he thinks, in his kind of universe of the garage. And that all comes down to his performance. I mean, again, I saw this movie before I knew who Pat Short was, and now I've seen a lot of his comedy. And it's amazing to kind of see him from that direction, if you know what I mean. Like, I got to see him as this serious actor, but he's really, really good in this part. Mm. And heartbreaking at the end when tragedy strikes his life.
Yeah, let's listen to a clip that features the aforementioned Pat Short in a scene with Anne-Marie Duff here. She's playing the character of Carmel, and they bump into each other as they're both walking up the street.
Carmel?
What has you traipsed into town?
Doing a bank run.
Right.
Booking something?
Thinking about it.
Be nice. Laying out.
Oh, yeah.
And your swimming bikini.
Come on in now, Jonesy, till I get rid of you.
I'll have to tell you my news.
What?
We're going late above.
Really?
Weekends only.
And the going late above there that Pat Short is referring to in the film in Garage, chosen for us this evening by Justin McGregor. He works in a garage. And it's important, we talked about Pat Short's performance, or Anne-Marie Duff's performance is lovely in it as well. But we can't leave out Conor Ryan, who plays the young guy, David, who becomes friendly with Josie throughout the film, Justin.
Yeah, no, Conor Ryan plays David, who's the son of the girlfriend of the owner of the garage, Mr. Gallagher, played by John Keogh. And he's sent there to kind of apprentice for the summer, and I think really for Mr. Gallagher to get him out of the house. And they form this kind of very fast friendship. And again, with Josie's innocence, you know, he starts to go, you know, drinking cans with David and kind of hanging out with the teenagers on the tracks, and kind of begins to get a glimpse of this normal life that he actually didn't quite get to have. And there, relationship is really believable, and I think really makes the whole film work, because of course it's a mistake he makes in David's presence that that causes his own downfall, as it were.
And the other performance that we can't leave out is the horse.
Yes, there's this horse that's lives in this fenced field, and Josie goes and feeds it and talks to it. And certainly when he's, you know, again, this is another film with a lot of isolation in it, because Josie's really alone in that garage most of the time. But he has this relationship with the horse that he talks to and feeds. And it really develops over the course of the movie. And the movie actually ends on the horse free from being tethered, and obviously a metaphor for what's going on with Josie. But it's a fascinating way of getting the character to come out of their kind of internal world and engage with this outside world while still being isolated from other humans. Yeah. You know, it's an amazing.
All right. OK, that's Garage then, the second film recommended to us this evening by Justin McGregor. Garage is available to rent and to buy again, Volta.ie and iTunes. And not surprising, it's cheaper to rent or buy on Volta.ie, given their connection to Element Pictures. So that might explain the slightly cheaper price for it there. Let's move on then to your second choice, Arlene, My Left Foot. And when you think about this, we're going back to 1989. And this was a really big moment for Irish cinema, particularly in reference to the Oscars, Arlene.
Well, this was incredible. This was absolutely incredible. This is Jim Sheridan. You had a very young cast. Daniel Day-Lewis wasn't really as well known as he is now. You had young Hugh O'Connor playing young Christy Brown. You had Brenda Fricker. You had Fiona Shaw, Ray McAnally, Ruth McCabe, Adrian Dunbar. It was just an amazing cast. He assembled an amazing cast, and it's based on a true story. It's a very unsentimental look at the life of Dublin artist and writer Christy Brown. And it blew people away when they went to see it. It was just an incredible, actually an incredible performance by everybody in the film.
Yeah, because much is often made of the fact that Daniel Day-Lewis stayed in character the whole way throughout the shoot. He was constantly in the wheelchair. He insisted on being fed in the fashion that Christy Brown would have to have eaten his food. But the performance that stands out for you, I think, is actually Brenda Fricker.
It's Brenda Fricker. Well, both performances are incredible. His is an amazingly physical performance, you know, because Christy Brown had cerebral palsy and his limbs were spasticated. He only had the use of his left foot. And so it was an incredibly physical role that he embodied. And I know he broke two of his ribs, actually, in real life, you know, when he was playing the character in the wheelchair. And it was a very difficult role to inhabit. But Brenda Fricker is playing like she is his mother in the film, but she is just the rock, I think, of this film. She's so powerful and so quietly powerful in it, and so warm and loving, and at the same time quite fierce and quite loyal. But she just is. She's the linchpin for me. She's the linchpin of the whole film, and I'm so happy that she went off and that she won Supporting Actress at the Oscars the following year because she deserved it. She absolutely deserved it.
Well, let's listen to a clip that features Brenda Fricker as Mrs. Brown. And this, in fact, is with the young Christy, brilliantly played, I always thought, as well, by a very young Hugh O'Connor. And they're lighting candles on All Souls Night.
Wait, did you know about All Souls Night? Did I ever tell you about that? It's a really special night, you know, because every time that you light a candle on All Souls Night, and you have to say, Five Our Fathers, five Hail Marys and five Glory Bees, right? And then a soul flies up out of the flames from purgatory and goes straight up to heaven. It says some prayers to the poor souls in purgatory. Right. We can't understand you, God can.
There we go. Scene featuring Brenda Fricker from My Left Foot, and My Left Foot is available on YouTube. Let's move on. That was the choice of Arlene Hunt. Let's move on to your final choice, Justin McGregor. You stretched it a little bit here, out of Irish into Celtic. A film called Iona from 2015.
I did stretch a little. Well, I was really thinking about, you know, Isolation as well as Irish films, given the times we're in. And this is a film by Scott Graham. It's a second film. His first film was called Shell, and it was set in a remote petrol station, so another theme in the Scottish Highlands. But this is set on the island of Iona, and it's 3 miles long and a mile wide. It only has about 120 residents. And the lead character is played by Ruth Negga, which is part of the connection. And it's in the Inner Hebrides, so an island off the coast of Ireland. And Ruth Negga and her son return from, we never know if it's Glasgow or Edinburgh, but from a big city. A tragedy, there's been a murder, a big crime has happened there. And we never quite know what's at the root of that crime, whether they were involved or they witnessed it or and they're running from that. And it's an amazing performance by Ruth Negga, and the cinematography, you know, of these people kind of alone on this island, like dotted in the landscape, is absolutely breathtaking. And then it's immediately contrasted with these small, because they filmed all the filming on the island. They filmed in the small Ionian cottages, and they're incredibly small rooms, incredibly small bedrooms, and that feeling of claustrophobia then when you're inside and yet everybody is again still isolated from each other, not really talking about what's going on in their lives and has been going on in their past. And it's amazing contrast, I think, for that. And Ruth Negga is just spectacular as Iona, who was named after the island that she was born, raised on.
Okay, and a bit like Garage, dialogue to an absolute minimum here. So again, maybe one for a contemplative watch. Iona, Final Choice of Justin McGregor. That's available on iTunes to rent. Again, 99 cent to rent there. You can buy it for $3.99. You can also get it on YouTube Movies to rent and buy. But as far as I can see, iTunes is the cheaper of the two. Let's go to your final choice then, Arlene. Black 47, we were talking about My Left Foot being remarkably unsentimental. Well, Black 47, which deals with the famine, of course, is unsentimental. In fact, it's quite brutal.
It is an extremely pared-back, brutal film. I mean, it's actually glorious to look at because it was shot on a, you can actually see it was shot on a shoestring budget, but it didn't need any more bells and whistles to it because the story itself is so powerful. It's set during the Great Famine. It's the year, it's 1846, and this starts with the journey of an Irish ranger called Feeney, and he's returning home from fighting with the British Army abroad, and he's returning to his family home. And what he returns to is a completely brutalised, impoverished land where English landlords have, you know, they've ravished the countryside, they're sending vast supplies of food abroad, while starving out the local Irish people who are barely existing as it is, but they're trying to survive on just the potato crop, which of course suffers from blight. So the whole country has plunged into famine.
Let's have a listen to a clip that features James Frenchville playing the part of Michael Feeney, in fact, and he's speaking to a judge here played by Dermot Crowley.
I understand that it may further bolster your sense of injustice to blame me for your brother's demise, but I do not cause the crops to fail. And I am not responsible for people breaking the law. I am merely a servant of the court. I bid you good day.
Nia and Berla, Tong in the Korchisha. Tatukushi and Numaru, Mayirahar, Mihalo Fine. Kehwe, Flidalantu.
James Frenchville there and Dermot Crowley in a clip from Black 47, the final choice of Arlene Hunt. We asked both Arlene and Justin McGregor to choose some Irish films for us this evening. James Frenchville, an Australian actor, but that film has a lot of sections in it in Osquelica, Arlene, and it kind of weaves the two languages really well together, I think.
It's beautiful. It's genuinely moving. And in that scene, what's happened is his brother had been sentenced to jail, basically, because his brother didn't actually speak English and didn't understand what was being asked of him in the court. And what's so wonderful about that scene is he's turning it back on the judge. He is refusing to listen to the judge and refusing to speak to the judge in English. And that's what he said, there's no English here. And that becomes a massive thread throughout the film as well. You know, that it's just because he fought for the British. He fought for the British in the army, and this is how they repaid him. And there's a scene where Hugo Weaving is playing Hannah, and he was saying to me, oh, you know, you were one of my best rangers. And he said, no, I was just an Irish mick for you. And it's like, yeah. it's the ferocity of the betrayal, which is really powerful the whole way through the film.
Yeah, and one of the first films, I suppose, to really tackle that enormous historical subject of the famine. And that's the final choice of Arlene Hunt on this Thursday evening. Black 47, directed by Lance Daly, we should say, in 2018 was the release year. And you can find Black 47. It's available on Netflix.